Do we have any birthdays today? Any birthdays? Okay, well, my daughter actually, my youngest daughter turned 40 today. So talking about babies being born. And my husband's parents, when she was born, of course it was April, so about the middle of summer, they enjoyed watching her, and they would take her deliberately down Main Street in Spring Valley in the stroller so that everybody could, you know, ooh-ah over her, and they were pretty proud of her. So this morning, I want to ask you if you remember, I know it was some of us, and I'm going to include myself in this, decades. It's been decades when we remember that when we were in high school, we took our yearbooks and we'd pass them around to our peers, our senior, you know, students, other senior students. And what we would do was we would write a sentence of what we were going to do after graduation. We'd write it underneath our picture. And we, if we were to look back at those sentences today, I think some of us would get probably dizzy breathing in the thin air of the mountaintop vision that we had at that time as graduates or becoming graduates. And to give you some ideas of maybe some of the things that some kids have, you know, as far as their goals or their things that they want to do. How about, I want to be a famous author or an actor or maybe a successful singer or a dancer or maybe have a music career, or I would like to own my own business someday or be a professional athlete or be a physician in a third world country or maybe a counselor or a teacher in the inner cities for kids. Well, I do want to share a true story. I don't know the particular details per se, but it's a true story nonetheless. It's about a senior young man who was the most awesomest football player in that particular school. And he, if he would have been chosen, probably the most likely to succeed. Very good-looking young man. And again, like I said, he was an all-star football player, and you knew he was going to accomplish great things. Now, I'm not sure exactly what his goals were. I think he did go to school a little bit after graduation in high school. But whether he finished high or college or not, I don't know. But I do remember that he started taking interest in being a realtor, you know, selling homes. Well, as he started doing this and developing this career, he meets a woman who is also a realtor. And they start dating, they get married, and the thing is about this woman was, she might have been born in the States, but her family wasn't. They were from either Switzerland or Sweden, someplace like that. And today, that young man and his wife are now living in another part of the world. And I'm sure that when he graduated from high school, that was probably the last thing that he thought that he would be doing. I'm sure he thought he was going to have a family, but did he think he was going to live in another part of the world? So I bring this up because there's many times that when we graduate, we go on to that next chapter in our lives, and it's nothing like what we expected it to be. And not to say that, you know, some people have that dream, like some want to be teachers, they graduate high school, they go on to college, they become teachers. Some become doctors, some become lawyers. But sometimes, you know, what we kind of expect is not how it ends up when, you know, down the road, decades later. But the thing is, changing directions isn't a tragic thing, but the thing that is tragic is losing that passion for life. That's tragic. That's tragic. Our conviction to change the world gets downgraded because we are committed to paying bills. You know, when we, you know, graduate from high school and we find a job or a career, you know, we have that commitment now to pay our bills. So rather than make a difference, we are now making a salary. Or how many of us start a project? How many of us start a project and get so excited about that project and then we begin to lose interest in it or we don't finish it? Here's a good example of that is me. A couple of years back, somebody was selling a brand new exercise bike, brand new. The woman could not get up on the bike safely and get off of it safely, so she only used it twice, put it up for sale. I could not wait to go get it. Bought it from her, brought it home, put it in front of my, you know, next to my TV, and I would sit and watch the wheel every single night riding this bike. For a half hour, I would ride this bike. Well, since then, because I'm doing this renovating in my house, I've moved my bike into the utility room, and that's where it's been sitting for probably at least four months, and I have not used it. So, you know, these are things that we start stuff and we don't finish them. How about maybe that novel, that novel that you lost interest in, you didn't finish reading that? Or how about a crossword puzzle that caused you to be frustrated and you just thought, well, I'm not going to finish this. I can't figure these out. Or how many of us, and my boss says her husband loves jigsaw puzzles. And so she'll get the card table out and she'll, you know, dump it out. It's more to help her keep him out of her hair more than anything. But you know, and he will start working on it. But then after about the third or fourth puzzle that he's put together, you know, she keeps dumping the boxes, you know, after he's, you know, but, you know, after the third or fourth one, he's finally lost interest. Or how about the bigger projects for such as remodeling your bathroom or the garage or the attic or the storage room that you kind of want to straighten up and yet, you know, you wanted to do that this winter. Well, now the weather's getting nice and you don't want to do that kind of stuff. For whatever reason, lack of interest or lack of motivation or lack of help, we lose that desire to maybe finish something that we've started. But aren't we glad that God, who starts a work in us, he comes and he makes sure that he finishes it? He doesn't walk away from it. He doesn't walk away from us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So the thing here is we got to realize, with this scripture, Paul is not saying you started a good work in you. He's saying he started a good work in you. And he is faithful to complete it. So we shouldn't be beating ourselves up sometimes when we, you know, have a desire to start something and yet we don't finish it. Maybe that's something that you wanted, but maybe that's something that God doesn't specifically want you to do. So you lose that interest in it. So again, it's not you who started a good work in you. It's God who starts a good work in you. So imagine God saying, I choose you to be my child, and I love you, and I have a plan for you. But then out of nowhere, God decides that he wants to do something else. Well, we know that God doesn't do that. We know that once God starts something, he definitely finishes it. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. That faith, that source of love that we look for, comes from God. That source of faith that we have, that came from God. And that faith that we are given is the faith that we use to stand upon that scripture that says, God, you started a work in me, and no matter what this situation, what this circumstance looks like in my life, you are going to finish what you started in me. You're going to make sure that it gets finished. So we shouldn't beat ourselves up when, you know, we feel like we failed. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to get our focus off of our accomplishment or the thing that maybe we did accomplish with what we did do. We get our focus on the fact that we failed, that we are a failure, that God can't use us. And that's so far from the truth. So when we look at this scripture that God says, he who started a good work in you, we need to stand upon that by applying the faith that God has given us. So, we all have this expectation for what our future should be like. And then one day, again, like I said, life throws a curveball. Life throws a curveball, and we have to alter those expectations. We have to alter them. But change can be a good thing. A lot of us see it as a bad thing, but change can be a good thing, and it doesn't necessarily, again, have to be a bad thing. But for some, change forces us into the unknown. And when you hear that word unknown, it makes you uncomfortable. It might fill you with stress, with doubt, with fear, because we don't know what to expect down the road. The thing is, I want to make sure you get this today. There may be times when God doesn't change our circumstances. Why? Because he wants to give those circumstances opportunity or time to change us. I'm going to say that again. Because sometimes my kids will say, why doesn't this change, Mom? Why doesn't this change? Again, maybe the times that we don't see God change the circumstances, it's because he wants to give those circumstances time to change us. How many of us, when we have a circumstance and we can change it, we have the ability to change it, but then is God in that agenda? Is God part of that getting you to where you want to be at the finish line? Is God have any part? Was he allowed to play any part in that success that you had in that circumstance? Absolutely not. So sometimes when we get these circumstances that we're dealing with, he gives us circumstances that the only one that we can depend on, the only one that we can go to is God. Because God is saying back here in the background, saying, I'm back here. All you got to do is, I'm right here for you, but you have to call on me. You have to trust me in this. But a lot of us want to say, I can do this on my own. I can handle this myself. So while we are dealing with these situations, we should not only be asking God to help us with the circumstance, but we should be also asking God to help us change us, help us to realize what part of this, like the other day when I was going through something or thinking about something, I go, okay, wait, Lord, I'm studying this. Lord, what is it you're showing me here? What is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to improve on? What is it that you want me to focus on in this situation? Because there's certainly something here, because I can't fix this myself. You have to fix it. So there's something that you're wanting me to learn from this. What is it? Show me what it is that you want me to learn. Show me what it is that I'm supposed to grow in so that I can, depend more on you, trust you more. And it could be just something as simple as that, learning that, my faith level is here, but I want my faith level to come up here. But how can it do that when we're totally trusting in our own self? Now today, when I do children's church, I'm going to be teaching on the same thing. But I want the kids to understand as they hear the message or that particular scripture, that there's two natures that we're dealing with every single day: the old nature and the new nature. The old nature is when we've walked in sin and we didn't have Christ in our lives. The new nature is when we've accepted Christ and we want to walk in the things of God. But every single day, that old nature and that new nature are constantly, constantly pulling at each other. The old nature wants its way. The new nature knows what it should do. And yet, the old nature thinks that, well, if I'm kind, if I'm good, if I'm loving, if I'm understanding, I can get to heaven. No, 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 no. The old nature doesn't believe in Christ Jesus. The old nature doesn't want to trust in God in our circumstances. The new nature does. But there's always this conflict between these two natures. And that's the thing that God sometimes, when we're in these circumstances, wants to show us. Are you walking in the old nature when you're going through this? Or are you walking in the new nature that I've given you? Are you walking in righteousness? So, even though we are followers of Christ, we tend to sabotage what God's plan is for our future. Because we want to do things sometimes. It might be, we might be at the same goal, God and myself, but it's how we get there. Am I doing it the way God wants me to do it? Or am I taking a shortcut? I'm good at shortcuts. I am really good at shortcuts. And I'm always saying, Lord, I know I'm at this spot because I was trying to do a shortcut. And I know better. And I have to repent for it. And I do it very often. So I'm tattletaling on myself this morning. But the thing is this, I know that's a shortcoming that I have. I like shortcuts. I would rather do it the short way than the long way. I've been that way all my life, and I shouldn't say that, shouldn't confess that. I'm going to work on it. So anyway, the thing is this, we've got to understand that when we go through these circumstances, how are we going to conduct ourselves? Are we going to walk in forgiveness? Are we going to walk in confidence and boldness? Or are we going to be short with people, angry with people, unforgiving with people? When we're in these circumstances, that might be the simple thing that God wants to accomplish in that situation in your life at that time. You need to deal with this, Bonnie. You have a hard time dealing with unforgiveness, or you have a short temper, or you like to take shortcuts. You know, so sometimes it's just something as simple as that. But God is trying to have us grow more in what you know, be more Christ-like. And we know, boy, do we all know, that when we do take that fork in the road, go the wrong direction, that we sometimes have to pay for that. We have to, there's consequences that come along with that. God wants to do a work in us, but God is also looking for us to cooperate. We know as Christians that we want to read the Bible and that we want to pray and we want to forgive and we want to be kind and we want to understand people and walk in love. And of course, all these things are good, but we need to realize that it is God that is doing the work in us. So we cannot, when we're being a blessing to someone, last night, I read a story, true story, about a policeman. And I think he was a retired policeman, and there was a hostage situation. And they finally, and the person that was doing the shooting killed two people. And then they talked him down, and he finally let everyone go except one person, and it was a woman. And the woman he used as a shield so that he could get away. And the police officer, who was retired, talked him to switching. He said, I will be your shield. Let her go and I will be your shield. And he did. And unfortunately, he died. His motive was sincere. Just like Christ laid down his life for us, that's what he tells us. You know, that we are to lay down our life for our brothers, our sisters. You know, that's what Christ did for us. That's what this man did for this woman. And we can tell story after story of people who have done that, given their lives for someone else. We need to ask God when we go through circumstances to give us the wisdom, to give us the knowledge, to give us the understanding. And sometimes when we do ask, we don't hear what that is right then. But that doesn't mean that we give up, that we walk away from it, like when we start our projects, we walk away from them. No, God is wanting that, again, that faith to grow. He's wanting that faith level to go higher and higher. And even when we don't get an answer at that time that we think we need it the most, God is saying, hang in there. The more you hang in there, the more that faith level is going to go up. You're going to need that faith level down the road. Because I know there's something else that's coming along in your future. You're going to need that faith level. Not maybe for yourself, but for someone else. In Jeremiah, you hear me say this one a lot, for I know the thoughts that I have for you, the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. God has a great plan for us, and 100% of the time, his plan is going to be better and greater than our plan. But Christianity, we have to realize that it is not a self-improvement program, and it's also not a moral code. We know that. And that it's because with Jesus, it is a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with him. And the more we grow in our love for our Savior, for our Creator, the more God can work in us, the more God can do for us. And as that happens, and as we change, we look forward to our circumstances, or we see our circumstances differently than if we had that old nature. How many people do we know that are going through circumstances and they have the old nature? They don't have that new nature of Christ in their lives, and they're bitter. They're angry. They have unforgiveness in their heart. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at the world. And why? Because they don't have that new nature in them. There's no hope. So they're angry with anyone and everyone. They're resentful. They're bitter. They have no forgiveness in their heart. And because of that, they've closed the door. Their hearts have become hardened, like Pharaoh's heart did. So instead of being hesitant, when we have this new nature, we become bold. We become confident. When we want to grow in the things of God, we find more peace and we find that joy. We find that God is going to fill those voids that those people that walk in that old nature, they have this void in their life. Here's a good example of that. How many of us hear about it almost every single day in the news, if you watch the news? Political correctness, political correctness, political correctness. They hear that word, and the reason for this political correctness is because people are so involved, is so hung up on saying the right thing, and that they're offended by just the littlest things. And the reason for that is because there's a void in this heart. And if there's a void in their heart, they become offended easily. They become bitter. And they use the fact that we need to talk the way they want us to talk so that they are not offended. So that's why there's political correctness. Because there's a void in their heart. There's a void in their life. They don't have that new nature. They have the old nature in them. If we just begin to want more and more of God and more of his word, then we begin to change. And our view of our circumstances that we're dealing with, we begin to see them in a different way. And we say, Lord, what is it you want me to learn from this? What direction do you want me to go with this? We learn as we grow through these circumstances. So we need to ask ourselves, do we spend too much time trying to control the outcome of that situation or that circumstance? Are we so wrapped up in trying to figure out a better outcome at the end of all this, when what we should be doing is stopping everything and getting ourselves in front of God and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation, but you certainly do. I'm putting this at your feet. I'm giving this to you. Now let me ask you a question. How many of us have children or grandchildren that have come up to you and they've drawn a picture that they've drawn, and they've walked up to you and they've said, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what do you think? Well, naturally, what are we going to say? We're going to say, that's perfect. Now, we're not saying that it's necessarily a Picasso piece of art, right? We're not saying that. But what we are saying is that picture is beautiful. That's perfect for their time in their life. We're encouraging them. It's the same thing, and it's true with God, that he doesn't wait until we're perfect.
He doesn't wait until we've got our act together to show his love, to deserve his love. He doesn't wait for that to for us to get our faith level up here. He loves us when we're still in the pit. He doesn't wait for us to clean up our act, to straighten up our act. What he does is he gives us a plan and a purpose. He doesn't give it to us after we're perfected. He gives it to us before we even start the work that he's put in us. He doesn't expect us to be perfect, any of us. And you say, well, Bonnie, where are you going with this today? Well, I remember a while back, I remember Mary saying something that just blessed my socks off one time. She said, Bonnie, she said, you know, when you give a message, you might give a message and it might be something that disciplines us, but you say it in a way that's so, you know, that's loving and that we can receive it. And it's not like it's, you know, like a fire and brimstone kind of thing. So when I share this with you, I'm not doing fire and brimstone this morning. What I'm saying is, Jesus, when he walked this earth, and there were so many Jews that despised him, and yet he continued to walk in love with them. It says Paul knew God was doing a good long work when he writes this letter to the Philippians. When he writes this letter or this verse to the Corinthians saying God started a work in you and he's faithful to complete it, Paul knew that God was doing a good, and I like the way it says, long work. Long. In other words, we know it's going to be a lifetime. We know that it's not something that's done just in a matter of weeks or months. As I share the kids' message this morning, there's a song that says, trying to think of how it goes, but what the song is basically saying that God, you made in a week you made the sun, moon, and the stars, Mercury and Mars, but yet you're still being patient and you're still working on me. Because of his love for us. It only took him a week to create all of this. And yet, his patience for us to bring us to the perfection, to what he wants us to be at, takes all of our lives. It's like when we thought when we were little kids, I used to always say to my mom, when am I mature? What age am I supposed to be? You know, what age am I going to be when I'm mature? Mature is a lifetime thing. And the same is true when it comes to our walk with God and the work that God has for us. It's a lifetime thing. You know, many of you are up and you've been seniors for many years. And yet you're still today doing and serving the Lord. And my hat's off to you. You're still serving the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind and with all your strength. You're still using the talents that God gave you to serve him, to share the gospel. If we tend to insist on perfection in people, we're going to be disappointed and possibly miserable for the rest of our days because we have these expectations of people that we know that they can never meet. If we always expect perfection in people before we can enjoy them, then we'll never be fully happy or fulfilled because nobody's perfect. Even the person that you see in the mirror is not perfect. So if we want to be happy and we want to have a healthier relationship, not only with each other but with God, we need to make sure that we're not judging others, that we look at the boulder in our own eye before we look at the splinter or the thorn in someone else's. Today, when you leave here, the one thing that I would ask for you to do, instead of being, and I'm not pointing anyone out, I'm not saying anybody that somebody's judging somebody, The reason I share this message today is for this one reason. That when you leave this place today, I want you to begin to celebrate people, celebrate that God is doing a work in each person that you know. That you might not see it, but God has started a work in each and every one. So what I would like us to do is to celebrate the work that God is doing in each and every one of your loved ones, in your family, in your friends, in your co-workers, that we celebrate instead of judging them for their imperfections. We have to be patient, because the key to patience is what? Love. The Apostle Paul, in finishing this message today, which I just really thought was awesome, I've read it many a times, but it just really popped out at me this time. Apostle Paul continues to say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, "It is right that I should feel as I do about all of you." See, Paul was homebound, home arrested, because he was preaching the gospel. Some scriptures say he was imprisoned because he was preaching the gospel. He was under house arrest. But yet, what's Paul think about? Paul's thinking about the Philippian church, the people in the Philippian church, and he's writing them a letter. And this is what he says, that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. And that's what I'm saying this morning. Let's start celebrating those that we might not see them growing in the things of God. We might see them walking still in that old nature. But when we walk in faith and celebrate what God is doing in their lives, what we're doing is we're walking in that faith that God is doing a work in them. And that we might not see it in our lifetime, but the thing is, there's going to be a day that God is going to bring them to the perfection, to what he wants them to be. And we will someday see them, because they will be with us in heaven. We might not see it today. We might not see it years from now. But what we need to do is celebrate each person that we love, each person that we come in contact with, and ask God to have his way, have his will in their life, and do a work in them. It might not be spectacular, but it's still a work that God has for them. As I was sitting here this morning, and before I get up here, I say, Lord, thank you for calling me to do this. Thank you. I never thought this was ever going to be where you would put me. And I'm so honored. I am so honored by the gift that he's given me to be here and to be able to minister his word and to share his love with you. When we love and celebrate people and focus on their steps forward, we will find that we are happier and that we are healthier in our relationships with them and our relationship with God, because God not only started a work in us, he started a work in those that are still living in that old nature. Amen. I would like to close with prayer this morning. Father, we desire to put our trust and our faith in you. And Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in us and in our loved ones. And Father, we ask that even though we do not see that work at times, Father, we know that you work mightily on our behalf and on the behalf of our loved ones, and that you make all things possible to him that believes. For you are the same God of yesterday and today and forever, and you will never forsake us. All we have to do is seek you. You will never let us down, because our lives have been a testimony of your greatness. Show us how to mature as a Christian and improve in our walk of faith. Steady our trust in you so that we will not waver from your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.